Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go! He walks slowly down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust, yeah. Hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
I like your Bruce Springsteen better.
See, I think everybody likes my Bruce Springsteen better, even Bruce Springsteen. But, ladies and gentlemen, the wild card weekend is done. A few teams bit the dust, some in hilariously comedic fashion. Some went out with a whimper. And there was one that was the end of an era. We'll get into all of that. But before we do, greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Three Man Weave. Three Man Weave is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And as my beautiful better half just said, use your heads. And that includes supporting your favorite website for news, reviews, opinion, and analysis with attitude, reminding you that you're smarter than the average fan. That's why you're here. Right? So support the movement. Go on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up an official Chair Shot t-shirt. We literally have something for everyone. Hashtag journalism. Save Tag Team Wrestling. Endorsed by the almighty Jehovah God himself. I'm not bullshitting, folks. Listen to last week's DWI episode 307, I believe. Jehovah himself made an appearance. Yahweh, whatever the fuck.
I don't think he's going to make it this week.
Oh, God.
A little busy, yes. Jesus did the job, and his dad, we had him on our show, the promoter himself. Again, if you appreciate the content we provide day in and day out here at The Chair Shot, the best way to make sure we keep providing that content you love day in and day out here at The Chair Shot is by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, picking up a t-shirt or two or three or thrice. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Soft style. Gentlemen, only time that's acceptable. Ask your women. Again, TheChairShot.com, we're not just a website, we're a movement. Ran a little long today, but that's all right. I am Mr. Velvet Pabst, Christopher Platt. As always, I'm joined by the Commissioner PC Tunney and the Reverend Raymond Cash. Gentlemen, greetings and salutations, salutations and greetings.
I have a stupid question.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you know I'm the king of that, right?
Are you?
I mean, I can ask some stupid ones.
Okay. Good for
self-awareness is key in this business.
Is it?
Yeah, well, it should be. Why don't we make Chair Shot condoms? We always tell you to always use your head.
Price of rubber nowadays, sir.
Well, then, you know, everybody wouldn't quite use them, you know, because they banned chair shots.
Hey, I'm just saying, man, this is a chicken wing shortage. There's a gas. I'm pretty sure there's a condom shortage as well.
There's a chicken wing shortage, yet Taco Bell got fucking chicken wings. No. Think, people.
That's a problem.
No, they don't have chicken wings. They got wings.
Listen, if you're going to Taco Bell for wings, you're the one with the problem. You deserve deserve every bit of the Taco Bell wing you get when you go to Taco Bell for wings if you're the person that goes to Taco Bell for wings. Did I make that clear enough for people that are going to Taco Bell for wings?
So what you're saying is I shouldn't go get some wings from Taco Bell.
I think in and of itself, the words that are contained within the sentence of you asking the question, answer the question in and of it for yourself. You know, I'm not sitting here going to Joann Fabrics looking for some fucking PVC pipes, am I?
What if they have it, though? What if it's in a bag?
Then maybe on the way home after that, if you're hungry, you should stop at Taco Bell and get some fucking wings.
That's worse than gas station burritos or hot dogs.
Hey, you're not. Well, you're in the South, bro. Yeah, you're in the South.
The gas station food's a lot better nowadays, I'd say.
And you in the South, my brother. So, like, you understand that sometimes the best food is something is a little home. I live in the state of Buc-ee's. So, like, I'm not the one you could talk to.
No, it's different if there's actual restaurants inside the gas station. I'm talking about them hot dogs that been there since the Obama administration, and they just turning them every goddamn day. That's and right. Somebody's going to go in there and risk it all and say, you know what? I want one of them.
I'd rather take a gas station hot dog than gas station fried chicken. I'll tell you that.
Those are some small hot dogs. Dude's like, they were quarter pounders when we put them on there 6 months ago.
They were footlongs 16 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Son,
funny.
Did you want any mustard or ketchup for that hot dog? No, I'm good. No, son, you're going to want some mustard and ketchup for that hot dog.
Bite into that bad boy. It sounds like you eating chips.
Yeah, you're expecting the juices and all you get is a crunch.
They say you're a defibrillator. Don't sleep on gas station chicken. It's a gas station right down the street that they fry their chicken. It's some African brothers. Well, it's actually pretty fucking good. I'm not even going to hold you.
Yeah, they've got a restaurant in that thing.
You know what,
yeah,
folks?
But
So you're all aware, in honor of National Hot Sauce Day this Saturday, the 22nd, make sure you got your favorite hot sauce when you go grocery shopping. That way, on your way home, you can pick up some motherfucking wings at motherfucking Taco Bell. This is Three Man Weave. You're listening on the Chairshot Radio Network. We'll be back to talk more about wings at Taco Bell. Yeah, Ray, what?
This episode is brought to you by the good folks at Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, yeah. You think, oh, my goodness, Taco Bell wings must take that to a whole nother level. We'll be right back.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
So I, not so much lately, but in the past couple decades, I've prided myself on being a very decent picker of NFL football games against the spread, and even better at it in the playoffs. I had a red hot start Saturday, picked both games, but then went 1-3 the rest of the weekend. But let me run it down for you. Platt, Cash, Tunney, both balls, Andrew and AJ, along with Dave, all made picks. So we're going to continue to get the picks for the rest of the year. Through the playoffs, we're going to see who does the best here. Andrew, not so great.
5-1.
Andrew, not so great. Andrew, not so great. 1-5 for Andrew Belaz. So looking for a turnaround for him. Not a great start, falling behind there. Dave as well, 2-4. Raymond and myself, both 3-3. Not a fantastic start, but at least we're not under 500. AJ Belaz, 4-2 with a solid start. And Christopher Platt.
Give it to me, baby!
Why he took the Raiders, I'll never know, but he hit the rest of the games versus the spread. Christopher Platt, I got to tell you what, nice job, 5-1, week one, but let me tell you, a dog that shits quick, don't shit long. We'll see what happens the rest of the way.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you put that one out?
You ever been to a dog track?
No, I've never been to a dog track. I've seen the ponies.
A dog that shits quick doesn't shit long?
Yeah, that is some ghetto ass wisdom for your ass.
Acknowledge me, ladies and gentlemen. Acknowledge me.
Yeah. A llama ain't got no hair, brush every morning. What the fuck?
Chitlins don't stink when you pull the membrane out. What the fuck you talking about, honey?
This isn't working for me. I need to be able to drink when I work with the two of you, and I just can't do it today.
Congratulations, bro. By the way. And for the record,
fuck it.
The Raiders almost made it on that shit.
It was some DWI tomorrow morning because Tony's gonna be drunk off his ass on that show.
You don't say. But there was some goofy shit that went on in that game as well. Some questionable calls, but they had a shot to win it. They didn't get it done. Shout out to the Bengals, man. It's a fun story.
Give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, and now that Tennessee game, we'll get to it. I'm just saying, we'll get to it.
So before we make our picks, because there is four games this week. Saturday evening, 4:30 Eastern, 8:15 Eastern. Sunday afternoon, 3 Eastern and 6:30 Eastern. There's 8 teams left, right? I say, personally, there's 3 teams that have no chance at winning the Super Bowl that I just don't see winning the Super Bowl. Like, I'd be shocked if they won the Super Bowl, and that's the 49ers, the Bengals, and the Titans. There's 5 teams left after that. 4 of them play each other. So you're going to get rid of, this week, 2 of the teams at least that I think can win a Super Bowl, that being the Bills playing the Chiefs and the Rams playing the Bucks. I also think the Packers are a team that could win the Super Bowl this year. Out of the 8 teams, Ray, we'll let you go first. Which of those 8 teams do you think can win a Super Bowl, and which one would you be like me? If the Titans and Bengals or Niners went on to win the Super Bowl this year, I'd be not utterly, but I'd be kind of shocked.
So I get your logic, and I think I would normally think in those regards. But first and foremost, this has been a crazy year that anything could happen, and I'd believe it. But I also want to say that I think of championship games a little differently than most people. What I mean by that is, if you can get to the championship, anything could happen once you're in the championship. So I think all 8 teams can get to the Super Bowl. So if they can get there, I believe that they can win. So to answer your question, it's going to sound a little out of character for me, but I think all 8 teams have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Christopher?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that these are the 8 best teams in the NFL this season. We got a lot of the riffraff and the fluff out last week. I would probably put Arizona and Dallas, probably more so Arizona than Dallas, in there if we wanted to pick a 9th or something like that. But yeah, these are the best 8 teams. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if any of these teams win. At this point in time, man, I don't even think home field is really that much of an advantage, as opposed to, 10, 15, 20 years ago. I don't think it's that much of an advantage.
Vegas don't think so.
No, and neither do the Rams. At this point, it all boils down to matchups. And there's some interesting matchups this week. And there's a lot of these underdog teams. And when I say underdogs, I mean teams that are on the road that match up favorably with the home teams.
I would dare you to tell the 49ers and or the Rams or Buccaneers possibly next week that playing in Lambeau Field isn't an advantage for the home team.
Well, how'd that work out last year with hot ass Tampa Bay?
That's fine. That can be your retort, but that doesn't make me wrong or your argument for me being wrong any stronger. What you just said, it's still a home field advantage, more so than any other one.
I agree, but let me give you a stat I saw this morning on Get Up. The team that has lost the most home games in the past 20 years is the Packers. They've lost 6 in the playoffs. So this team is different. You can't go by yesterday's price is not today's price. You can't go by last year or last month or last decade or whatever.
Unless it's the same price.
Well, I mean, Fat Joe said it's different, so it's different. But the Packers have shown a propensity to, kind of fall short.
All right, so
I don't want it to go that far, but they have. So I don't know if this team will, but they've shown that they can.
Hey, that's when you're in it every single year. I mean, you did, people said a lot of the same thing about the Colts with Peyton Manning there. Let me get off the rails here. Go figure. I'm watching ESPN, and on NFL Live, for some reason, they showed some guy doing a power lift, like a squat world record or whatever. When you watch these guys do these power lifts with this immense amount of weight, and you can see like their legs almost buckling anything, are you just waiting for like a leg of theirs to break or something? I'm always waiting for something to go horrifically wrong. Like I can barely watch them do that stuff.
My ex-fiance was a power lifter, so no. But I understand the thought process, because the shaking to the person who's unencumbered, you think a lot of the times it's they can't stand the weight, but really that's their body adjusting to the weight. So if it wasn't shaking, I would be scared.
No, but I mean, it's happened in the past. I know there's clips out there of people's shit like that. Now I'm always just waiting. I don't want to see that shit, you know.
Some people
like watching Joel Theismann get his leg broken. Some people don't.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It'd be more likely for the joint to fuck up than like a snap.
Yeah. All right. Back to football.
Sorry to give science to, you know, my bad for being
That's
Dr. Fauci.
It's funny because all I could think about are people's bodily functions malfunctioning.
Oh, so they're just a big shit. Like,
you know what I mean?
That's real.
Or piss, real. Or, you know, even the women squirting or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Not even nothing sexual about it. Just I'm amazed it doesn't happen more.
That's absolutely real. Yes, they clear their bodies out before that shit for that very reason. Yes.
Ah, got you. Touche.
All right, football playoffs. That one's on me, guys. That one's on me.
Hey, Olympics in a couple weeks. We can talk shit like this. This is on brand.
4:30 Eastern Saturday afternoon. The Cincinnati Bengals head just a bit south. This is the shortest of the road trips in the playoffs this weekend to face the Tennessee Titans. That game will be on CBS. Tennessee is a 3.5 points favorite. I like the Bengals here. I think they got something really nice cooking in Cincinnati, and it's not just the Skyline Chili. Joe Burrow has what it takes. He's been in these big games before. He went and beat Alabama. That's something to be said. He just carries himself different, and the young weapons he has, I think that they're going to take care of Tennessee. Tennessee, to me, is just the most unimpressive one seed I've ever seen in the NFL for any conference. I know they're a solid football team. I know Derrick Henry's coming back, but what does that really mean for the Titans, Platt? Because I'm going with the Bengals.
Oh, my God. This is tough for me, because I agree with you. I wouldn't call them the most unimpressive one seed. I remember that 14-2 Jaguars team, and there's been a couple others, but that's neither here nor there.
That was real. That was a real thing.
Yeah. And they had been in the league for like 6.5 minutes, too, which is crazy. Shout out to Mark Brunell. You know, I'm trying to talk myself out of it. I really am, because it's Ohio and it's Cincinnati. But at the same point in time, yeah, nobody believes in Tennessee. Yes, Derrick Henry's coming back. We don't know what that's going to look like. Obviously, Derrick Henry is a mutant, so he'll probably come back and rush for 2,000 yards in this game, whatever the case may be. But the thing with the Titans is, if you can score on them and score early, they're not a team that's going to be able to come from behind, because now you put the impetus on Ryan Tannehill, and we all know that's not going to work out well for anybody. Cincinnati has a very explosive offense. And you know what? I'm doing it, man. I'm going Bengals here. I think the Bengals pull the upset. And there's always some weird shit that happens in these divisional round games anyway. There's always a team that you're like, oh shit, they won? And now all of a sudden they're in the conference finals. I think that team is going to be Cincinnati. Yeah, I'm taking Cincinnati here. And the points. Well, I guess I'm not taking the points. I'm taking them now right win, because the points is 3. Yeah, I'm going Cincinnati.
As the great modern philosopher Lee Corso said, not so fast, my friend. I think that's his name.
That's all you got?
No, I was trying to make sure that was his name. I saw Tony's face. That's his name.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, modern day philosopher Lee Corso.
So tear him down before you build him up, right? I agree that the Tennessee is a bit of an underwhelming number one, given the play of the teams that we've seen, but in the AFC, but underneath them, number one. And two, I think even though they wanted the number one so they could get Derrick Henry back healthy, I think it hurt them having the bye week, which is something that often doesn't happen. Normally it helps the team. I think it hurt them because they needed to keep their momentum up, and other teams got so much more momentum that it will hurt them. So I get tear them down, build them up. But the reason I think Tennessee is going to win this game, and the reason I think Tennessee is a better team than the Bengals, is because I am with you 100%. I do not trust Ryan Tannehill, but the facts have shown us that Ryan Tannehill is one of the 10 most trustworthy quarterbacks in the game right now. I don't like it. I don't want to believe it, but facts are facts. I also want to add to you the fact that Tennessee's defense has been dominating all year. So you said that if they can score early, most teams haven't been able to do that in Tennessee this year. Now, Joe Burrow has the weapons to score on them. But we also talked last week, and it came to fruition that Derek Carr almost came back on them. Joe Burrow, as great a player as he is, as my boy got balls the size of monster truck tires, but he'll throw a pick or two. And that ain't the team to do it against. On top of that, they will dominate the time of possession regularly. Even without Derrick Henry, they were dominating the time of possession. I just feel like Tennessee is built different, and they're built more prepared for the playoffs than the Bengals are. And that the Bengals will be so much better next year and the year after that and the year after that. But right now, I trust Tennessee a little more. And if Joe Burrow goes out and goes Aaron Rodgers on me, I'll be glad to say I was wrong because the kid's fantastic. But I just see Tennessee get into the next round.
All right. Ray's got the Titans covering the 3.5. Let's move on Saturday night, 8:15 Eastern on Fox. The 49ers travel to Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers. Packers favored by 6 points in this game. I think the Packers win this game by double digits, whether the defense shows out and it's like 27-13, or if Rodgers just has to put points on the board. I think you're going to see Rodgers in the red zone and in the middle of the field, you're going to see Quadzilla and Aaron Jones just dominate in the run game. I understand San Francisco's had a nice run getting into the playoffs, a nice victory. They are not the best matchup for the Green Bay Packers, but the Niners aren't the best matchup for any team in football. They're one of those teams that just, they do certain things really well, and it makes it hard for certain teams to beat them. I still think the Packers come out on top. That's where I'm going, Chris.
I wish Bosa was healthy. If Bosa was healthy, because I think offensively, the 49ers are going to be able to move the ball against the Packers. Like, Debo balled the hell out last week versus Dallas. And you can move the ball against this Green Bay team. I saw the Browns do it on Christmas. You can move the ball. You can do some things. You can sustain possessions against this defense. But Bosa hurts. Losing Bosa, that absolutely hurts. And I think there's another defensive player that they have that's out, if I'm not mistaken. But that hurts. I wanted to pull the trigger here, but I just can't. Maybe if Bosa was out there, I would. But, yeah, I think Green Bay wins this. I think 49ers keep it close. I really do. But, yeah, Green Bay is going to win. I could see them winning by a touchdown or something like that. I could see a scenario where Jimmy G has the ball with 1.5 minutes left and they just can't get it done. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Packers, and I'm going to go with the points. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like Tunney, but I'll take the Packers and the points.
I didn't say it was going to be a blowout. I just said double-digit victory. Saturday night forecast calls for partly cloudy skies, temperatures in the low teens, dropping into the single digits, winds 5 to 12 miles an hour.
Typical Green Bay game, just no snow. Yeah.
It's gonna snow in the morning.
Well, okay. Well, so let's start off this way. Green Bay's gonna win. Right? They're destined to get to the NFC Championship game again. So they're gonna win. But I think the one thing you keep hearing about the San Francisco 49ers team is that there is no team in football that knows themselves as well as the 49ers do. They know who they are, and they don't change for anybody. And I think that we've seen that all year, that they are pretty consistent in the way they play their game. They're down by 20, they're up by 20. They're the same team, and it's worked for them. If I can say one negative about the Packers, because we're going to say a whole bunch of positives, outside of the NFC North, they tend to play down to their competition. And that is often to their detriment because a lot of games that they play are closer than they should be. If they let this team stay close, they can punch them in the mouth and get that Buster Douglas haymaker. Now, I say Buster Douglas, I don't mean that they're that big of an underdog because the 49ers can bang with the Packers. And yes, we talked about defenses. Aaron Rodgers is going to be fantastic as he always is, but that defense is stout enough to not allow Aaron Rodgers to go completely off like he normally would. And on the other end, I know Jimmy G is nothing to write home about, but that offense is dangerous. Debo Samuel may be the most dangerous weapon in the game right now, outside of maybe Cooper Kupp, like Brandon Ayuk. DMX, Earl Simmons. I know his name ain't Earl, but I don't know. Thank you for that. Yes. Get at me, dog. They're dangerous. So I have Green Bay winning, but I will take San Francisco, because I do not see them winning by six and a half points.
Jesus. Speaking of Jimmy G, man, that's what they're talking about in Cleveland. Because, I mean, everybody knows Cleveland's not going to pull off Russell Wilson or Aaron. So the next tier down are Jimmy G and Derek Carr. And replacing Mayfield with one of those guys, that's like, okay, I'm going to put my Dr. Pepper down to pick up a Mr. Pibb. Like, what are we doing here?
Did you take the Packers here, Chris?
Yes, I took the Packers in the points. I think they win by a touchdown.
All right.
Can you give me a quick answer real fast, Platt?
Sure.
Would you mortgage the future for Deshaun?
You can't.
Okay.
All things considered, if it was just strictly about football, all day.
Yeah, but the other stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's worth a deeper conversation later on, but I know we got to keep it to the format right now, but I'm just curious.
Yeah.
All right. Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern, the Los Angeles Rams. I caught myself. Barry Horowitz. Wanted to say St. Louis.
I'm so glad Oakland. See what I mean? I'm so glad the Raiders are done. You know what I
mean? The Rams will travel all the way across the country to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are favored by 3. This game is on NBC. This is the hardest game for me to pick, actually. I'm going to take the Rams just because they're playing so well and the Bucs are banged up a little bit. I think they can get pressure on Tom Brady. That's all I got. Not a whole lot of analysis there. Shout out to Bruce Arians for slapping his dude on the helmet and getting a $50,000 fine. Dipshit. Platt, what do you got here?
You remember when everybody thought Bruce Arians was cool just because he wore Kangos on the sidelines? Good times. You know what? I picked the Rams preseason to go to the Super Bowl. Tony, you basically made my argument for me, man. When you're able to get pressure on Tom Brady, he suddenly looks very mortal. The Rams have the personnel to do that. If Stafford don't Stafford, I'm going the Rams here. I'm going the Rams. Because it's so hard to repeat in this league. Tom is old. They're hobbled on offense. They basically had a bye week last week versus Philly, which was the worst team to make the playoffs. I don't think that's even arguable, right? So, yeah, we're going to Rams here.
So, look, to quote the great modern philosopher Chris Boone Berman,
what?
So you're all on the Rams, huh? I am too. But I feel bad picking them because y'all are picking them, and I know how Tom Brady is. So, like, that's some Michael Jordan shit. I will say this. The lack of weapons don't bother me because Scotty Miller will have 7 for 149. It doesn't matter.
BG's own, by the way.
Oh, that's right. He is bowling. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But what bothers me and scares me is that the lack of the offensive linemen who are hurt. And Kyler Murray is the closest thing we have to Lamar Jackson in this league. And he was like they were in the backfield with 4 dudes, bro. And he couldn't go nowhere. And Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, and Von Miller. Hey, Von Miller looked like he was back in the Super Bowl. So that scares me for them. I think this is the Rams' year, unfortunately. Sorry, Tommy Terrific. I think this is their year. And don't let it be lost on you that Matt Stafford played in the Dome his whole career, and he has not had to play in bad weather yet because he played in the Dome last week and is going to be in Tampa Bay this week.
Yeah.
It's only going to help.
Supposed to be single digits in Tampa this week.
Is it really?
No. It's Tampa.
I mean, shit, it's America. It's the world. Shit, if they played the game during a tornado,
I have no idea. I have no idea what the weather's like in Tampa in January or what the forecast calls for this third Saturday of fucking January here. Fourth, actually, I think.
Bruh, it snowed in Atlanta on Sunday, so I wouldn't
but
be surprised.
But I would
by
bet
anything.
You dollars to donuts that at 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, it's probably going to be more than 50 degrees in Tampa Bay.
65. Yeah, I agree. And by the way, shout out to the fact that they apparently plugged Odell Beckham Jr.'s controller back in and allowed him to play again because he looks really good.
Completely and utterly unnecessary, Raymond.
That wasn't a diss. I'm just shocked.
It kind of feels like it was.
No, I thought he was done. I legit thought he was done.
It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault. And now the world sees it.
We know now.
Now the world knows.
Yeah. The people that thought, well, man, it's got to be Odell because he was too good at the end of the Giants. Yeah. And now he's out here looking like prime Odell. So I'm just shout out to Odell.
Because we talked about it on these airwaves, as a matter of fact, and you did. You were one of the ones saying, well, you know, would the offense be better without Odell? I'm like, no, it wouldn't. It wasn't him. Wasn't him.
By the way, Odell was the second best quarterback on the field that night. So I'm just saying, that's crazy.
Ouch. Ouch.
Touché.
Kyler Murray, yeah, he had a couple oopsie-daisies there. Let's move on. 6:30 Eastern. Early evening, wrapping up divisional playoff weekend. CBS has the game. Bills heading to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. Don't ask me why. I'm picking against Patrick Mahomes. I think it's the Bills win this game, and they're going to have the home game conference championship against the Bengals. I just think they've figured it out at the end of the season. The defense is really freaking good. And Josh Allen is really freaking good. If they can get any production from Moss and Singletary, in addition to utilizing Josh Allen correctly in the running game, yeah, I like the Bills to win and handily. Not like they're gonna blow them out, but like they're gonna be ahead the whole game. I think the Bills are gonna show you the flaws that the Chiefs still had that we saw at the beginning of the season.
No, go ahead, Ray. We got to switch it up every now and again. Tony keeps saying flat. He doesn't understand how this podcast thing works after 10 years of doing it.
Ray?
Yes, sir. Thank you. So actually, I would defer to non-plan. So this is a revenge game because last year's AFC Championship game was this game. And in all of the revenge Kansas City games, the other team tends to win that game because it means a little more to them, right? Josh Allen is the most Tony Romo, Brett Favre's fucking quarterback we have in this game because he looks so fucking good and then can make the craziest, dumbest plays in the next breath. He's looked great recently. He's hot as fish grease. I'm going to give you a name that's going to really be a big precursor of what happens in this game to me. And that, I'm going to give you two names. Byron Pringle and Dawson Knox.
Okay.
Keep going.
The biggest issue with your boy, Pat Mahomes, was he was going for the home run every game, right? And they had to slow it down to bring it back. You got a lot more Darrell Williams. You got a lot more screenplays and bootlegs and things of that nature. If Byron Pringle gets more than six catches, we got a different game here. And Dawson Knox is going to be they're not going to be guarding the middle of the field at all. So I hate herd mentality. I feel like I got to go with the Bills, too. And I'm sorry, Patrick.
My apologies, man. Just real quick, before I get into the actual game, I want to salute the Kansas City Chiefs for ridding me of the plague, of the scourge that has been Ben Roethlisberger in my life. Because this goes deeper than just the Browns and the Steelers. This goes all the way back because remember Ben Roethlisberger is a Mac man.
So Miami of Ohio.
And he was at Miami at the same point in time I was at Bowling Green, man. And they was out here smacking us around like Ike Turner at the Miss America pageant. Like it was bad. And Bowling Green actually had good teams around there. So I'm just happy that this Mellon Farmer is out of my life. Big Ben, you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champion. Enjoy your retirement, bro. Just stay away from women and stay away from women in bars and restrooms. Now, on the Bills side of the game, it's funny because earlier on these airwaves, man, I said that the best game that I had ever seen Josh Allen play was in a losing effort versus Tampa Bay earlier this season. Well, he must have heard me and said, hold my beer, because last week at New England, or excuse me, with New England coming to Buffalo, I don't think it's humanly possible for Josh Allen to play any better than he possibly did in that game. I don't even think they punted the ball at all, did they? I think they took some knees.
They had a perfect game offensively. They had 9 possessions. One ended by the halftime. One ended by taking a knee to end the game. The other 7 were touchdowns. No punts, no field goals.
Yeah, they played absolutely phenomenal against a not bad defense in the Patriots. So all props to them. That being said, to quote the great poet laureate known as Sean Corey Carter.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
You guys are severely overrating this team. They beat the shit up. They beat the shit out of bad teams. They struggle with the good ones. You got to go the Chiefs here, Patrick Mahomes. I think that the Chiefs actually did the best job in terms of regulating this extended season than any other team. I think that they're peaking at the right time. And, yeah, I think they get it done here versus Buffalo, because I just don't believe in Buffalo like you guys do. They can't run the ball. Like, their best running back is their quarterback, and you got to think that's going to that's going to factor in at some particular point in time. So, yeah, I'm going Chiefs here.
Ray, you took the Bills, correct?
I took the Bills, yes. Okay. Do you think that Kansas City's defense is good enough to take advantage of the fact that they have no running back? That's a big question.
I think that Kansas City's offense is good enough to negate the fact that their defense has struggled. That's what I think.
That's fair. I also want to know, why the fuck I can't get drops on the queue like that? Like, what's up? Like,
You really going to make me go insider baseball here, sir?
No, I was just trying to be funny.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to say, like, let's not tell him how the sausage is made, sir. Please and thank you.
you guys are like... podcast soulmates, and I'm over here just like, hey,
but you'd have to like tell me too. You'd have to tell me which one you'd want, and then I can have it ahead of time. Platt's been getting that one for about 4 years. That one's here. I didn't have to go grab that one. That one's on the list.
Yeah, that's in the queue, sir. That's in the queue. Before we even started podcasting, I told him, hey, find this clip for me. That's the shoot.
Well, you did that with me with the work clip. So yes. Can we smoke a pack of that Roethlisberger pack that since it's gone now? Because fuck that dude.
Yeah, fuck that pie face looking motherfucker. Fuck him.
Is he done?
Get
out
my life.
Is he done? Is he gonna play again?
He was done last year.
Oh, he's gonna play again. I know exactly who he's gonna play for too.
XFL.
Big three? What the fuck?
He's gonna be the starting quarterback for a certain football team in which a city that loves to rock and roll.
Ah, my God!
I can't hate you any more than I possibly do. So this is the fucked up part, because not only is he an Ohio boy, you know who else is an Ohio boy that the Browns whiffed on?
Who?
Joe Burrow.
Oh, that's right. Well, I mean, but...
You already have
Baker Mayfield.
No, Progressive has Baker Mayfield, which I didn't see any Progressive commercials. Maybe they're moving on. They're cutting their losses with him, huh?
Who knows? Who knows? All right, folks, we will make sure you tune into Pod is War and maybe the DWI podcast as well. Tune into both of them, but we'll have some more NFL picks. We'll get Dave's and the Belize up there. So. We'll see you next week. We'll see who's got bragging rights next week. As for now, it's Christopher Platt. Well done, week one of the playoffs, 5-1. But like I said about that dog that shits quick. He don't shit long. But here we're gonna take a break. It won't be for long either. This is Three Man Weave on the Chairshot Radio Network and the Chairshot.com, where we encourage you to always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Good shit you never get.
Talk to him, John.
That one just cuts out. I never brought that one down. But you know, I was gonna bring it down, and I was like, well, we got through the main part already. We're so close to the jazz part in here. We might as well let people, you know, the good stuff from the answering machine, Chris.
You know who plays that song now or uses that song now? If you watch
college basketball games. The Pope should use that fucking... Oh, yeah, ESPN uses it on college basketball, right?
No. Fox uses it on college basketball. Yeah.
Hey, now we're on Fox.
Can you imagine this holiness waving out the Pope mobile and shit?
Ladies and gentlemen. He's your eminence.
Your holiness. Your holiness.
Lady. Oh shit.
And him shooting baskets. I gotta imagine his form. It looked like, you remember when Puerto Rico got hit with the hurricane and Donald Trump went down there and was shooting the paper towels to him. Like...
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Three Man Weave. My name is Ray Cash. This is Chris Platt. This is Pizza Tony. We'll see y'all next 2 years because we are.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. So I think they only brought me back. I literally got canceled in between that silence and the commercial, but they brought me back to remind you all to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up an official chairshot t-shirt. And frankly, I'm probably going to need that support for my legal fund. So if you enjoy the content that we provide day in and day out here at the Chair Shop, support Christopher Platt's legal fund. I'm on the phone right now on the other line with my consigliere, Mr. Dave Ungar. We try to figure out how I can get out of this. But again, we literally have t-shirts for everybody. When you go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, by perusing ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, I guarantee you that at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, you are going to find a shirt that you absolutely adore. It's going to make you more aesthetically pleasing, as our commissioner likes to remind us, and get it soft style. Fellas, that's the only time that's acceptable. Ask your honeys. Hell, ask your fellas, but that's the only time that's acceptable. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Get it soft style. Please and thank you. Thank you and please. What's that, Dave? Okay, guys, I got to go. So, great show. Been nice knowing you. Yeah.
But the sad thing is, we don't have another black dude to replace you with.
That's it? It's just us?
Kenny doesn't know anything about basketball.
Kenny Killer Black?
Yeah.
Shout out to Kenny Killer. What's up, baby?
He didn't know that.
Didn't know that at all. Shout out to Kenny Killer.
We got to have a mulatto or a Creole or something like that on the bench somewhere, right?
I mean, well, we got it albino.
Well, that doesn't help.
So, in a proposed apparent deal from the 76ers to the Warriors would receive Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, and Andre Drummond. In return, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga, and two future first-round draft picks would make their way to Philadelphia. Raymond S. Cashington's the ninth. Sir.
Yes.
The Nueve. They call you El Nueve, the nine.
Like it.
What do you think about this?
I think it's the dumbest trade I've ever seen in my fucking life. Don't get me wrong. Ben Simmons will be a prize to whoever he gets traded for, because if you can do everything, he reminds me of those baseball players that can do everything but hit for power. You're still a great player. Ben Simmons can do everything but shoot. He's still a great player. However, everything that makes the Warriors revolves around Draymond and Andrew Wiggins, because Steph and Klay can't be Steph and Klay if they have to control the ball. If they have to guard all the best players, Clay notwithstanding, because he likes to do that type of shit, and they have to run the offense. It works because they have Draymond and Wiggins, who do all the extra shit that lets Clay and Steph ball the fuck out. Now, Draymond means so much to that place emotionally, because he's emotional and the locker room leader, essentially. But on the court, you can replace that with your boy, Ben. I get that. But you are losing so much. Andrew Wiggins is an all-star this year, y'all. We haven't talked enough about how good he's been in this offense on this team and how much he stepped up last year and especially this year. I love Tobias Harris as much as the next guy, but Tobias Harris don't fit. Andre Drummond, they need help. They need help in the paint. Don't fit. It's just going to change the team too fundamentally when they're already the number two seed playing for the number one seed and they got a legit chance to win the championship. You don't change, in my opinion, you don't change the trajectory of your entire team in the middle of the season if you're already a championship contender. If it's one guy for one guy, all right, cool. This is a seven-player deal. I know. So just dumb as hell. And Bob Myers is too good a GM to even like acknowledge this nonsense.
Yeah, Ray literally made my point for me. Seriously, like, yeah, they're not doing that shit. That's dumb as hell. There's no way in hell they're doing that. You know, Golden State has done an excellent job of rebuilding around their nucleus, which is the light-skinned boys and Draymond on the fly. Andrew Wiggins is playing at an all-star caliber level this year. I don't know if he's going to get in, but he deserves it. And they've the young guys that they've picked up, they've played well too, man. They got a bunch of long athletic guys that can guard about two or three positions, and they're very versatile and interchangeable. No way in hell you do this. Plus, big picture, this nucleus probably has about a good 3 to 5 year window where they'll still be able to be title contenders. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Best case scenario, you run it out with that in that 3 to 5 years, and within that 3 to 5 years, you hope that Wiseman figures it out, and then the saga continues. You know what I mean? And then that's your bridge to get to relevance after that.
And to your point, that's the guy you trade. Wiseman has all the upside in the world. If you really want to trade somebody, I get Kuminga. I get trading Jordan Poole would be the dumbest thing any team's ever done, because that dude's a 20-point per game scorer that didn't play 3 years ago. Like, so no. He's your fill-in for any time you don't have Steph, you have Klay. He's a walking bucket, like Perk says. But if you really, really, really just wanted to make a splash, James Wiseman's the guy. Because he potentially in 3 years can be, I'm not going to go as far as to call him Joel Embiid, but like a top level big in this game. He can shoot. He can defend. He's got a little bit of IQ. He's got more of offensive games than most of these bigs we've seen come into the game with. And he's played under these great players. That's the guy you would trade. It's just a dumb trade ever. But it goes to show you, look who offered it. It wasn't offered by Golden State. It was offered by Philly. And they are shooting foot. Look, shoot your shot, baby. Platt always says that if Halle Berry walked up to him right now, he would, not right now, he's married. But in his previous life, he would get at her. Because, you know, shoot your shot, right? They out here shooting their shot. And I ain't mad at them. But understand, son, you not built for Halle Berry. You built more for Margo Kidder. And you know what? It's okay.
Damn. No, it's not okay, Ray. It's not okay, Ray. It's not okay.
It's okay.
They're not going to get Margo Kidder. They're not going to get Halle Berry either. They're probably going to end up getting Uma Thurman or some shit like that.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Oh, goddamn. That's Margo Kidder 2.0, sir. You right. Saying the same thing.
First thing I want to elaborate on before I take the counter argument, just for gits and shiggles, is in what world is 18.5 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and less than 1 block and 1 steal per game an all-star?
Just say you don't watch the Warriors and be done with it.
That's Andrew Wiggins, just so you know.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Just say you don't watch the Warriors and be done with it.
Why do I even have to say anything? But you're going to really tell me that there are only 11 people or less that are more deserving than Andrew Wiggins to be a starting Western Conference or just a Western Conference All-Star this year.
Yeah, he shouldn't start, even though right now, if the game was today, he would be starting.
Nobody said starter. We just said he's playing at an All-Star caliber.
I know.
Nobody
I missed start. That shouldn't have come out.
Yeah.
He's not an All-Star, though. He's not even in the top 20 for being an All-Star, in my opinion.
It's not all points, bro. It's not all points.
But what else does he do?
That's what I'm saying. Watch the game, man. Yeah. Within the frame of
work. I don't have to watch the game.
But in the framework of what Golden State has done this season and how important he is to what they've done this season. Remember, Clay's only been back for 3.5 minutes, man.
I don't know what all-star lineups you guys have been
caliber level, man.
What all-star lineups you guys have been partaking in the past, 10 to 30 years. But guys who average 18, 4-2 don't make the fucking all-star game.
How about you go look at the fucking list of all-stars on the metal core, bro? What the fuck you talking about?
He averaged like 40 points a game. He averaged like 7 steals a game.
No, he didn't.
You know what, Tony? I take back your albino card, okay? I don't know what the fuck you out here talking about.
Maybe he was stealing his teammates' jewelry out the locker room. That's the 7 steals you accounted for. What the fuck?
Who is that?
Well, I'm going to say Mometo Core, man, because I'm not going to play Jamal McGlure like that. So, we ain't going to do that.
Did you just pick two fucking names that rhymed? Is that what you did? I don't even know if they're both all-stars.
Fucking, shit. Well, nah, Al Horford could ball. Jamal McGlure!
No, hold on. Use Al Horford, because Al Horford's probably never averaged 18 points a game in his career.
But he's probably averaging like 12 or 13 rebounds a game, and probably like 2 or 3 blocks.
Let me ask you this.
Riddle me this, Batman.
If you are the number one seed, or the number two seed, and they're interchangeable, right? Yeah. Phoenix and Golden State are interchangeable.
Yeah.
If you're the number one seed in the league,
don't
you think that warrants your team's success good enough to? Well, then you ain't been watching basketball the past 30 years, brother. And that, because that is one of the tropes. The best teams. That's why Mo Williams was a fucking all star, because they were so good they had to give Cleveland another player.
Mo Williams got to Cleveland, and LeBron was like, "Bro, you need to shave them shoulders before you step on the court with me."
Well, that's
true. Bro, you still.
Honestly, the first time I ever watched basketball was July 20th of this year. So
I'm just saying, man, you still got NBA League Pass through the 22nd. We got a free trial, man. Go watch some Warriors games in that time, man, and see really how important Andrew is to what they've been doing this year, man. I'm not saying, I'm just
saying. Anyway, the argument for the other side of this is the fact that Tobias Harris brings scoring, Andre Drummond brings inside presence, and Ben Simmons is an unbelievable defender, rebounder, and distributor of the ball. That sounds a lot like what Draymond Green does. Here's the problem, though. A, Ray's point, he's not the heart that Draymond Green is, never will be. And B, what the fuck is anybody going to do with Ben Simmons right now? This dude is already has a reputation of not pushing himself, not liking to being pushed in practice, and doesn't do anything extra on his own to be better. Do you think this guy is out there working out in an NBA shape right now? He can come back. I don't think he's going to be NBA shape the rest of the fucking year because he won't push himself to do so. I think you'd be stupid to trade for Ben Simmons, like we already said. Ben Simmons, in my opinion, doesn't like basketball. That's really the end of the conversation for me.
Y'all be forgetting, man, at the end of the day, these shits are jobs, man. Just like we got jobs. They're higher paying jobs. They're better jobs than we have. But their jobs.
Expound on that, bro, because that's just deep. Go ahead. Keep going.
They got jobs. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you know, you work to a point to get yourself to this point. Not saying people don't love basketball. They don't love what they do. Their jobs are exponentially better than, you know, the majority of people under the sound of my voice's
then
jobs.
I'll just
but
say
at
this.
The end of the day, it's
Ben,
still
Ben
a
Simmons
job,
doesn't want to be a great basketball player. Maybe he doesn't dislike basketball, but Ben Simmons has no interest in being a great basketball player because, yeah, it is a job. And, yeah, you can do the absolute minimum, which a lot of people think Ben Simmons does, but that's as good as you're going to fucking be then. Don't expect to be the fucking great player that everybody expected you to be. You're never going to make the amount of impact in the game if you don't try harder to live up to the money that you're going to get paid in being Ben Simmons and where he is at right now. That's really the bottom line for me.
Okay, so my point that I was trying to make is, man, is, you know, we grow up, we listen to all this sports talk and shit, man, and y'all motherfuckers, man, act like it's some sort of indictment on these guys' morality or who they are as people.
Oh, no, not that. I'm not saying that at all. Because I'm talking about in the value of what you're going to get if you trade for Ben Simmons. This is what you're going to get, right? You're going to get a guy who has all the talent to be one of the top five NBA players in the league, but none of the desire to be that guy because of the hard work that comes with it. Right? It's completely fine to him to just say, you know what? This is as hard as I work. This is how talented I am. If you want me, you want me. If you don't, you don't. I'm easily one of the top 150 NBA basketball players in the world. Right? So that's fine. I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm just saying as far as expectations go, whether you're the 76ers or any of the other 29 teams, you're getting a guy who has no desire to put in the work to be one of the top 5 to 10 NBA basketball players in the world.
I don't know that I fully disagree with that, but I will say this. The one thing for me is I can't speak to what he does off the court. I think I agree with you completely. I don't think he works very hard at his game off the court. I think he enjoys a lifestyle a little more than he should off the court. But when he plays on the court, with the exception of shooting the ball, he plays hard as fuck. And he is extremely, other than shooting the ball, not even scoring the ball, shooting the ball. He is extremely involved in what's going on and integral to the play of the team.
Right.
So
Ben Simmons is a great basketball
player. I have to reconcile that.
If Ben Simmons is a great basketball player, except for two things. One, he's scared to shoot. And two, he's scared to put in hard work, from what we hear.
I won't say scared. He doesn't want to. That's a big difference. Scared to shoot. I'm a psychology major. Scared to shoot could be something he really needs to get. Fucking help with.
If he isn't shooting, the ball because he doesn't want to shoot the ball, he's a bad teammate.
No, if I'm sorry, real quick, just one more point, Chris. If he doesn't want to shoot it, I agree. But like, they're legit. Markelle Fultz is in. He's here. Markelle Fultz had to get traded away from Philly and take legitimate therapy to get through whatever it was that was causing his shot to be messed up. And now he's a starter in this league. So, and that's been in the, and to Philly's point and to Philly's credit, they learned from that. And that's the one a part of the contention between Simmons and the team is they want him to get help and he don't want it because he don't think he need it. And that's part of the problem is self-awareness is not there. So that's why I say I tend to agree with some of the points you're making, but I don't want to let it be lost how great he is outside of that one thing and a second, if you want to call it that, that he seems to not work hard on his game off the court. I'm sorry, Platt. Please, it's all you.
No, I'm glad you said that, man, because you actually brought up a point I didn't think about, man. Everybody and their mama loves Luka. We're not going to rehash that argument because I know how y'all feel about Luka.
Sure.
But we can all agree. Hold on. No, hold on. But we can all agree that he came. Whoa. But no. That's not where I'm going. But we can all agree that he came back fat as fuck after going home after the Olympics and was hanging out with his crew back home where he's a goddamn. James is James. James will get it together by June. He'll be there. But no, he came back fat as fuck, hanging out with his crew, whatever, being a god where he's from, and rightfully so. And the Mavericks offered to send a personal trainer back there to his home with him this summer to make sure that he came back in shape. And Luka turned it down. But he doesn't get the same type of... He's not viewed in the same light as Ben Simmons. Now, maybe that's not a fair comparison because, you know, Luka is willing to shoot the ball, but their games are similar. Other than the fact that Luka shoots the ball.
Their games could be more different.
No. They're facilitators. Ben Simmons is a better defender.
The Salt Lake in Utah is similar to the Pacific Ocean. You know, except for the fact that Pacific Ocean is like a billion times bigger. Like, yeah, no big deal.
And y'all go act like y'all not seeing the point I'm making. No,
orange is the same as that banana over there, except for it's a fucking banana.
I think the point you're trying to make, I think, is real. I think you chose a bad analogy, if I can be honest with you, because one, Luka does everything the team asks for him to do except for lose some weight, right? But he plays hard every game. He does everything on the court he's asked to do. He works hard off the court on his game. He's been a pro since he was 16 years old, right? Ben Simmons don't even want to practice. So that's number one. And two, their games could be more different. Yes, they're facilitators, but Luka facilitates because there's nobody else on the team that can score a bucket. But Luka's a 30-point-per-game scorer on a regular basis if he had his druthers. Ben Simmons and Luka doesn't even want to play no defense if he didn't have to.
Shout out to
all
brothers.
Ben Simmons wants to do is play defense. So I just feel like the point you're trying to make is fair because yes, we do take double standards. I mean, Kyrie Irving is a perfect example of that. But we do have double standards, but it's not apples to apples. And it's one thing to understand playing yourself into shape. That's the thing that a lot of these players do. They play themselves into shape. It's another thing when you're in great shape. You're ready for basketball every way, which way possible, but you just say, nah, son, I don't want to do it. That's what Ben is doing right now. I just don't think it's the same thing.
The best spot for him to be in, and they're in no position to try to get him, is the Lakers. That's really the best spot for him. He's with Clutch Management, or Clutch Sports, rather, which is LeBron. That's their agency.
Yeah.
That's the perfect mentor for him. But yeah. I'm not going to give up on a guy that is that talented. I mean, hell, you remember how talented Jason Kidd was when he first got in the league, and he couldn't shoot the ball either. He didn't develop a jump shot until his athleticism had failed on him. I'm not giving up on this kid. That's why this is his bed right here down at the Cranbrook compound. Come on down. We'll get you some gumbo in you. We'll feed you good. We'll talk through it. Which, another thing, man, these NBA teams, man, they need to start having life coaches and shit like that on staff.
Facts.
Because
facts. Sports psychologists. Yeah.
To put a bow
on this real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
To put a bow on this part real quick. So much of Ben's issue to me is self-inflicted because there have been players in the league historically as going back to the days when it was like four black people and a whole bunch of 6'2" white dudes that can't shoot. But it's the difference between not being able to shoot and refusing to shoot. It's the difference between being bad at something and still playing hard and a guy refusing to even do a portion of the game. What Ben is doing is like if a dude who's supposed to hit refused to hit and just sat there and took walks all day.
It completely
closes off a portion of the game. And Rajon Rondo couldn't shoot forever, but he was always still an effective basketball player because he played hard. Listen, if you left him open, he would make your ass pay for that. So I'm trying to go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's Schrodinger's cat. There's a cat in a box, and the box is closed. So inside the box, the cat is either dead or alive, right? So if you open up the box and the cat's alive, everything's great. And if you open up the box and the cat's dead, you can do something about it. But if you're Ben Simmons and you never open the fucking box, I can't fix it. I can't fix what's wrong, and I don't even know if what's there is right. So that's the fucking problem I have. Thank you, Schrodinger, and your fucking cat.
That's the deepest point Tony's ever had on the show.
By the way, Chris.
Can we get a round of applause for
Tony? No, that's fine. By the way, Chris, just so you know, Lakers need to go 28-10 the rest of the way.
I've already chalked that 20 up to the game, bro. We're even.
Oh, yeah, sure as fuck they win 28 more games, though. We'll be uneven, and you'll be back up 40, so... anyway, obviously more NBA talk to come here on Three Man Weave as we get towards the end of the NFL season, more towards the All-Star break in the NBA. Things should be heating up, should be an excellent, excellent run to the playoffs in the NBA. But right now you're listening to Three Man Weave. We're going to come back with a little bit of MMA action that's happening this weekend. Big heavyweight fight, Three Man Weave, Chairshot Radio Network, thechairshot.com. We shall return.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
ChairShot Network.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback.
Morris, but tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants, put suckers in fear, making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion.
UFC 270 this weekend, Francis Ngannou, Cyril Gane, the Battle of Champions, the UFC heavyweight champion Francis Ngannou taking on the UFC interim heavyweight champion Cyril Gane. And gentlemen, I would imagine that whether it's out in the open or behind closed doors or just to himself, Dana White is seriously rooting for Cyril Gane in this matchup, considering Francis Ngannou is talking about holding out to whatever part of left is his contract there. First of all, let's get into that aspect. Have you heard anything more on that, Ray? And if we can't expound on it, make sure you check out Five Rounds podcast this week with Mags and Carlos. You can find that every week, Chairshot Radio Network.
No, there hasn't been any news as of late, but the issues with Ngannou and with Dana White stem for a while now. The fact that this fight is even a unification title fight is part of the reason why Ngannou is not happy with the UFC, because he asked for a couple of weeks the last fight when Cyril Gane fought Black Beast Derek Lewis for the interim championship here in Houston. Supposed to be Ngannou, he asked, you know, to put it off a couple of weeks because I can't remember what the reason was. And Dana was like, no. And like, that was some bullshit, because it was like, You change fights all the time. You could have just put it on a different card. Wasn't that big of a fucking deal. Dana is who Dana is. So, yes, I would not be surprised if, and plus, Ngannou's been doing this for a minute. He's a bit of an older guy. I wouldn't be shocked if he's done with this. But there has not been any actual contractual news as if he's extended his contract or got a re-up or whatever. But he has also been talking about doing some things outside of MMA, for example, boxing. I joked about it earlier, but there has been legit chatter about an Ngannou-Tyson Fury fight. So the worst thing that ever happened to the UFC, but maybe the best thing that ever happened to mixed martial arts and these fighters, and this is going to sound crazy, but it's Jake Paul. Because Jake Paul has showed that you can make money legitimately without having to be in these institutions. And Jake Paul says something that is very real, and I don't like giving this dude credit. But legitimately, the fights he's had with the fighters that he's fought, so it's that Tyron Woodley and dude that got knocked out by Masvidal. They've made more money in that one fight with him than they've ever made in the UFC for one fight. So, like, it's out here. And Dana's got to start paying these dudes more, or they're going to start thinking, maybe I just got to do what I want. And I think we're in a really interesting situation and moment this year going into the next, because we still don't know what's going on with Jon Jones. It's so much uncertainty. Conor McGregor, it's so much uncertainty out here. And the UFC has become WWE-esque in that it doesn't need a star to keep working. But when your model is based on pay-per-views and your pay-per-views are $80, you've got to have some draws. So
that's the interesting thing about UFC, man, is that these men and women, man, they're in worse position. You brought up WWE. They're in worse position than the wrestlers in terms of the payday. In terms of what they're drawing and how much money UFC is making and what they're getting. I mean, unless you're a McGregor or somebody like that that has some leverage to, or somebody that they want to push as a big deal, you're basically fucked. So, yeah, I'm not mad at these people. And I think that there is, and you brought up the Jake Paul thing, there's a void there. And who knows? Yeah, maybe Ngannou says, fuck this shit. Him and John Jones, his people talk to his people, talk to my people. They may meet at a catch weight or something like that, and they do the Jake Paul thing.
Well, John's a heavy. John walks around at a heavy. He has to lose 20 pounds or not more to get to 205. So he's been wanting to move up to heavyweight. So that's something that's there available for them. But another thing I want to mention when you're talking about, just talking about this before we get into the fight, is if you remember, Dana did the deal with the UFC where he got, Dana did the deal with Reebok where, like, they, everybody, all of their stuff, all of their merch is like one-stop shop. Everything is the Reebok. You have to wear Reebok gear when you come out to the fight. Whereas before, they could have all the sponsors. And what paid so many fighters before, between their fights in training camp, this, that, and the other, was sponsorship. Wearing their sponsor, wearing 20, 30 sponsors on their shirt, on their hat, on their pants, paid for them to train before they got their big fight to get that big money to last them however long. That's gone. So, like, I'm sure they get paid much like WWE. A better downside isn't the word in UFC, but a better per fight, you know, monetary figure. But yeah, man, like, they did the numbers and percentages of what the players or the athletes get in the major sporting companies. So, like, in the NFL, NBA, football, and baseball and hockey, baseball and hockey, like the four major sports in this country, they all hover between 45 and 50% of the money goes to the players. And the UFC is like only 20. It's a ridiculous number of how much money this company is making and how little is going to the fighters. And they'll, because it's institution, it'll never change unless someone like Jake Paul fucks the system. And he's been doing that so far. So,
hey, Ray, you're in Houston, bro.
Yeah.
Get Jay Prince on the phone. Let's make this happen. Ngannou and Jon Jones. I've been working on the undercard, man. We got Ngannou and Jon Jones. That's the main event. We can get Matt Barnes and Derek Fisher. We can get Kanye and Pete Davidson. That's what I'm saying,
you're
man.
Missing
like,
the main draw. You're missing the main draw.
What's the main draw?
It's War Games.
War Games.
Oh, see, you, see, I'll be a dead ass.
No,
man.
I am too.
Just talking
I am too. You haven't asked me who the combatants are. I am too. You haven't
I'm
asked me.
I'm not shoot fighting people in a cage. Okay, who's in the War Games then? Who's in the War Games?
The Jokic brothers and the Morris brothers.
Yep, give it to me.
Boom, boom.
Give it
you know what? I owe you an apology.
For the record?
There we go.
For the record, I value my livelihood.
I apologize. So
thank you. Thank
I value my livelihood.
Until you said so that, all you said is you owed me one. What's that, Ray?
I value my livelihood, so I'm never calling Jay Prince for anything.
Okay, well, get me his number, man. He'll talk business. He's a businessman.
No. See, Platt, see, I love you too much as a person to allow you to put your life on the line talking to that young man, to the man.
All right.
And all deference to Jay Prince, sir. Yes, sir. I all respect and love. And I hope you're having a fantastic day if you're listening.
Listen.
Hook it up, man. He's a businessman, man. He'll talk business with me.
Let's get out of here by picking
on the
fight.
Way, man. I will take penitentiary chance or take graveside chance. To you know, the chance favors the bold, sir. Chance favors the bold. Fortune favors the bold.
Does Ciryl Gane do Dana White a favor and take the belt off of Francis Ngannou this weekend, Ray?
If he could, hell yeah. Can he? I don't know. Is he a better fighter than Ngannou? I don't know. He's a more well-rounded fighter.
That's what I'm asking you. Who's going to win? You give me all these fucking... You can't answer that, God. Your prediction can't be ifs and buts and candy and nuts.
Can I do my analyst job here, sir?
Scary.
Okay. Can I do my Charles Sonnen?
Scary. Is it better? Sorry?
Thank you.
I didn't say sorry.
Ciryl Gane is a more well-rounded fighter than Ngannou is, but Ngannou is a world-class wrestler and throws fucking bombs. Gane is more of a kickboxer than Ngannou is. So the question is going to be, number one, what is Ngannou's stamina like? He hasn't fought in a while. Gane has been out here, and he abused Derek Lewis here in Houston. Abused him. It was bad.
Yeah.
If it gets to the ground, I would probably lean Gane because of how well-versed he is in so many different disciplines. But I think Ngannou hits harder. I think Gane has only fought like 10 fights in his career. Ngannou's been through the ringers. I just think he's a more well-rounded, not well-rounded, but a more prepared fighter than Gane will be. And he doesn't make mistakes. Old Ngannou made mistakes before he beat Stipe. This Ngannou now doesn't make mistakes. He learns from his mistakes and he watches tape and he gets it. I think Ngannou wins here. And the only thing you can do at that point is call John Jones and make the super fight or let him leave his contract or trade him like you did Mighty Mouse. Because I don't think Ngannou fights another fight unless it's John Jones in a super fight in Africa.
Yes, according to my non-expert opinion, I'm going to go Ngannou here. I think he wins. And, yo, we need to figure this out. You know, we got John Jones, who's probably the GOAT. You got Ngannou, who's, you know, with all due respects to Usman, he might be the GOAT right now or, the best in the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
We got to make this happen. I threw Jay Prince out there. Ray's scared to call. That's cool.
Terrified.
Al Heyman is still out there somewhere. Maybe we find Al Heyman. Maybe we tweet Money Mayweather or something like that. Like, there's got to be a way that we can make this shit happen that doesn't involve the UFC. Because I do think that it would draw with or without the UFC. I think it draws.
Wait.
I think Ciryl Gane wins this fight. I was really impressed with him capturing the interim title and what, you know, Ray, all the different disciplines he can display his skills in the octagon. I think he's the next big name. I think he gets a fight or two, maybe just one more fight after this. And I think the big fight is John Jones against Ciryl Gane. Just because, I don't know, it's a long road to hoe to get Ngannou and John Jones in the octagon together under the UFC banner, considering, you know, the differences between John Jones and Dana White and now Ngannou and Dana White. It's like, that just seems so undestined to happen. But nonetheless, I do actually, not just because I think it's more likely, I do think Ciryl Gane will win the fight this weekend. I won't be shocked if he doesn't, but I'm going to pick Gane.
I will say this. You're spot on about that, but there's not a fight that exists right now or could exist that would make more money than Ngannou versus John Jones.
Besides,
anywhere, but
besides
I'm saying,
War
especially
Games,
if you do
War Games, Jokic versus Murray Morris. I mean, that's seriously that would make $1 billion.
Agreed, all facts. And especially if you make that Ngannou John Jones fight, you put it in Africa, because that and have the first fight in Africa, it would just do crazy numbers. But
and we ain't talking about like Egypt either or South Africa.
No.
We're talking about Africa.
Oh, you want him to be?
Yeah, honest. Right. But I said Egypt, and you said yeah right away.
I mean, Johannesburg. You can do it in Nairobi, Lagos.
You can leave me hanging out here in the wind, Platt. That's fine. But you know what I meant.
It's got to be in Ghana. That's where you do the fight.
By the way, Stipe still hasn't got. Stipe took some time off. He's coming back, and I think Stipe still has a chance to play a part in this kind of triumvirate of great heavyweights. So
it pisses me off how everything always seems to work out for Dana White, and it is my life's mission to destroy the facade that is Dana White. Ladies and gentlemen, under the sound of my voice, that motherfucker gets a W-2 at the end of this month, just like you do. He don't own shit. He owns the UFC like Stephanie McMahon was the general manager of Raw. The UFC is owned by William Morris Endeavors, the hottest or the most prestigious big-time talent agency in all of Hollywood. That motherfucker gets a W-2 just like you. Fuck him. Kiss my ass. You don't need him. Bones Jones, Ngannou, you don't fucking need him, okay?
I'll just say, I mean, you're not necessarily wrong, but he owns more of the UFC legitimately than Jay-Z did of the Nets. So,
oh, yeah, that's really hard. Jay-Z gave the Russian dude $1. Oh, yes, you now own the...
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
That's the drop. There we go. Honey, we've reached simpatico.
If $10, you're not on the fuck out of here.
Oh boy.
That being said, man, anything else y'all want to get off your chest before we get up out of here?
Is there anything of note that we haven't talked about?
RIP Betty White, RIP Sidney Poitier, RIP Bob Saget. Yeah. Did I miss anybody?
We did a little in memoriam for John Madden last week.
Yeah.
I can't think. Dan Quinn gonna be head coach?
Fuck no, man. Quit smoking crack.
Okay.
But somebody better give Flores a job. Matter of fact, Dallas Cowboys, man, get rid of fat ass McCarthy from
they're
Weekend
not.
At Bernie's.
They're not.
Get Flores in there. They should. I'm
they're
saying
not,
they should.
But they're not.
But they should.
But they're not.
But they should.
They're not.
Fuck Kellen Moore, too. Fuck Kellen Moore, too. He doesn't deserve
I
a
won't.
Head coaching job.
I won't.
Fuck him, too. Get
I
him
won't.
Up out of here.
They're
left
not,
Wedge,
and I won't.
Go get your left Wedge. Go get a BNME. You need to go get Flores. Whoever gets Flores. Jacksonville. Pretty Tony Khan. Shaka Khan.
Sorry for whoever
Flores.
Gets that job.
Houston. He wants to Sean anyway.
Yeah, apparently so do the authorities. Ray, where can everybody find you, sir?
You can find me not in jail like Deshaun will be.
Oh boy.
at it's Ray Cash, R-E-Y-S and Mysterio C-A-S-H-S in dollars.
Commissioner.
Yeah, you can find me at PC Tunney, Twitter, and Facebook. Make sure you continue to listen to everything Chairshot Radio Network right there on all your favorite streaming platforms and thechairshot.com.
Y'all can find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlat, but more importantly, hook a brother up. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up an official ChairShot t-shirt, please and thank you, and please enjoy the games this weekend, folks. Enjoy UFC this weekend and whatever else you got going on. Basketball's heating up as well. Go check it out. Go check out the Cleveland Cavs, man. They're the most fun team in all the NBA right now. It's a good story. They've got a lot of young talent, and they're making it do what it do right now.
I mean,
so
go
check
to, head to Cleveland, you know, check out the basketball, check out the new baseball team name, and then stay for Ben Roethlisberger as your quarterback this fall, Cleveland Browns.
I will stab myself in the eye if he comes back and plays for the goddamn
folks, and
Browns.
We will put that live on Restream.
Cleveland Browns.
Coming this September, Christopher Platt stabs himself in the eye. Sorry, Kriba.
How did Bone Thugs and Harmony never come out with a song called Cleveland Rocks? You get the double entendre. Anywho, for the Commissioner PC Tutty, for the Reverend Ray Cash, I'm Mr. Velvet Bites Christopher Platt. We thank you all for tuning in to the latest edition of Three Man Weave. We'll be back here next week, as he says with his fingers crossed. Same Platt time, same Platt channel. Until then, shalom.
The champ is here!
I just my shit right here!
The champ is here!
This shit is crazy, crazy.
The evil genius.
The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
Yeah.
D-Block.
The champ is here. The champ is here.
Fucking with the champion.
You already know. A-A-B is the game to buy.
You ain't fucking with the champion.
You already know.
The champ is here.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.